Federal cyber experts are raising the prospect that tens of thousands more federal employees could be at risk of identity theft from a corporate cyber breach than first reported. At issue is the U.S. Investigative Services, USIS, breach back in August. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me now with details on these new concerns and what's being done to shore up contractor systems. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so what's behind this belief now, who believes it, that maybe many more federal employees could be at risk?
Well, while much of the information still is classified, Congressman Elijah Cummings says there's reason to believe that the initial estimate of 27,000 feds impacted by the August data breach at USIS was actually too low.
Apparently, the company's desire to increase profits also may have been to blame for its failure to make cyber investments necessary to secure the large amounts of sensitive personal information it should have been protecting on its networks. On September 3, 2014, committee staff received a briefing from security experts at the Department of Homeland Security, the Office of Director of National Intelligence and OPM, all of whom analyzed a cyber attack against USIS. While much of that briefing was sensitive, one point may be discussed publicly. Press accounts had initially reported that the attack may have compromised the personal information of up to 27,000 federal employees. However, government cybersecurity experts believe this number is a floor and not a ceiling. The actual number of individuals affected by a USIS data breach is still not yet known. But these experts believe that the personal information of many more federal employees may have been compromised.
Now, Cummings made this announcement yesterday at the Oversight and Government Reform Committee hearing, where they're looking at how the government is reacting to third-party cyber breaches, meaning vendors that hold federal data, but it's their systems that get breached, not government systems that get breached. And in fact, Cummings called for the Oversight and Government Reform Committee to actually hold this hearing Wednesday, just after repeated cyber attacks against government contractor networks and the federal data being stolen that's been residing on them. Tom, if you remember, we know about this one, but USIS, Key Point Solutions, also faced one back in December. It became public. We know the Postal Service has faced one. So as you see, they're growing problems that they're looking into. Now, Cummings says investigating the data breach has been especially challenging at USIS and its parent company, Altegrity. They have not responded to the committee's request for more information. They continue to wait for it. And in fact, there's some concern that USIS and Altegrity hasn't been cooperative even at the very beginning of the breach. OPM Chief Information Officer Donna Seymour says USIS only let DHS's U.S. CERT team have limited access to its network to actually determine the vulnerabilities. Seymour uses an example to demonstrate just how much access U.S. CERT had. She says, for instance, if someone asked you to physically secure an apartment building but only allowed you access to two apartments, that's how much access basically U.S. CERT had to Altegrity or USIS's networks. So securing the entire building in her scenario is nearly impossible. Now, I caught up with Cummings after the hearing to try to get more details about the analysis by DHS and other federal cyber experts and just how many federal employees could be impacted.
I know you can't talk too much about the briefing regarding the federal employees, but you expressed that it could be the floor, not the ceiling. When will we know, and when will these employees know that their identity could be out there for 6-9 months without them protecting it?
I don't know. I can't talk about it right now. I'm sorry.
Anything you can tell your federal employees? Obviously, coming from Baltimore, you have a lot of federal employees who could be concerned now because obviously you brought this up.
We're going to continue to look at it, try to get as much information as we can, as fast as we can, and it is a top priority to protect them, okay?
Now, Altegrity filed for bankruptcy for USIS in February, in part because it lost that OPM security clearance contract, so that just makes things even more difficult to try to get information. Cummings says the committee continues to investigate both the USIS and the Key Point cyber breaches. Key Point breach became known in December. Cummings actually wrote a letter to Key Point asking for assurances of how they're protecting the data back just in January. Cummings also says he's now hearing some rumors that Altegrity may be suing the government over OPM's decision to end the contract. He says his office is looking into this rumor.
Boy, this one just keeps unraveling. So what is OPM and the other agencies doing to make sure the federal data is secured? on those networks that are run by vendors.
Yeah, this issue is not a new issue. We know that, Tom. It's always been of concern. But I think these two breaches here really brought this other to light. Office of Management and Budget initiated a government-wide review of how agencies need to ensure contractors are indeed protecting government data on their networks. In fact, the President's Management Council, which is made up of agency deputy secretaries, assessed a broad range of risks and how agencies are responding, detecting, and identifying threats and incidents. Tony Scott is the federal CIO.
And during this response to these incidents and our subsequent review, two things became clear. First, third-party contractors and vendors were inconsistently implementing protections over sensitive data. And second, federal agencies did not have adequate contractual language and policy direction to guide how contractors and agencies should respond to incidents. Based on this review, agencies were directed to identify and review relevant contracts to ensure compliance with current laws and OMB guidance. And second, OMB directed an interagency effort to collect and disseminate contracting best practices relative to cybersecurity.
So it's not just a review and saying, okay, do this. OMB will follow up on those efforts in several different ways. First, Scott says OMB is asking agencies to take a hard look at the risk these vendors present.
We're conducting cyberstat reviews with each of the agencies that ask them to report and, in consultation with us, look at their maturity level across a number of different dimensions, many of which you mentioned. And then we'll ask each of the agencies to set goals and we'll measure progress against those goals. And each of these have to be a risk-based assessment to start with. So some agencies have different kinds of risks than other ones do. So that's an important part of the work that our unit is doing. And the second thing is through our CIO Council and our CIO Council disseminating information and sharing best practices, as well as the guidance that we provide during the normal course of our work.
Now, Scott says he hopes after going through the agency's cyber stat reviews, he'll have a better grasp of how agencies are doing, not just on this issue of protecting data on vendor systems, but also on cybersecurity more broadly. Now, let me move over to the Office of Personnel Management more specifically, since really they were the victim of two of these big attacks. Now, obviously, it's not their networks that were victimized, but contractors that they hired, their networks, got breached for federal data. I want to make sure that's clear. Now, OPM CIO, again, Donna Seymour, says she took several steps to address the issues highlighted by the President's Management Council, but she did a lot more than that, too. Listen to this exchange between Seymour and Congresswoman Carol Maloney.
What we learned from those breaches is it's important to have a contractual relationship that's well-defined with those contractors. Mm-hmm. At OPM, we had very well-defined contract clauses in our contracts, and that helped us have a better conversation with the contractor when the breaches occurred.
Well, did you make any changes after these two breaches to make them better with your contracts, with your requirements? Have you made any specific changes?
Yes, ma'am. We have done two things. One is we've reviewed our contract clauses to strengthen them. And the second thing that we are doing is we're reviewing all of our contracts to make sure that we have the appropriate clauses in across the board in our OPM contracts.
So what are the appropriate clauses? What do you have to get in there to protect the government in your contracts?
Clauses that require segregation of data. One of the lessons that we learned is that if you have a network where all the data is commingled, then it's very difficult to protect the data, to segregate the data, understand what the adversaries are about, and therefore protect that information. If the data is well architected and segregated, you have a better chance of understanding what the adversaries are after and putting better protections around it in a very quick manner.
Now, Seymour adds OPM is also improving its architecture by putting in firewalls between systems to better protect data and conducting more training for employees. In its 2016 budget request sent to Congress in February, OPM asked for $21 million to continue its IT modernization efforts, which obviously includes better cyber protections. Now, beyond OPM, beyond this review, there's more that agencies can do. Greg Wilshushin is the Government Accountability Office's Director of Information Security Issues. He says agencies must clearly delineate the roles and responsibilities for themselves and contractors when it comes to implementing security controls and detecting and reporting incidents. Well, Schuessen says the agencies need to have some assurance that contractors are effectively implementing the security requirements, and they can do that either through an independent assessment, or there's plenty of other ways, whether they do it themselves versus an independent one. Now, Tom, this issue, as we talked about at the very beginning, is not new. I mean, it continues to challenge agencies, so much so that the National Institute of Standards and Technology recently issued a second draft publication in early April about how vendors can protect controlled, unclassified information on non-federal networks. We do have a link to that NIST publication on federalnewsradio.com.
And Jason, do we know, is USIS, or Altegrity, I guess, is the parent company, are they operating in bankruptcy or are they completely liquidated? What is the status of that company? Do we know?
You know, I don't know offhand. The way Congressman Cummings talked about it is he did not really talk about USIS as an entity anymore. He really did talk about more as Altegrity, the parent company. But, you know, Tom, that's something that's worth looking up.
All right. Well, Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks for that full report.
My pleasure, Tom.